de Corintios 1 al 13. God bless you. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It is always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when we completeness come, when it's in part, disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the way of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. Amen. Thank you.
Glory to God. Shall we please pray? Lord God, in Jesus' name we thank you. In Jesus' name we praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you are telling us to do today. We thank you for your calling upon our lives. We thank you for your purpose, your future, and your destiny for us. We yield to you and we surrender to you. And we pray, accepting your will for our lives. Whatever it is, Lord, we pray, let your will be done in our life as it is in heaven. This morning, we pray your favor. We pray your understanding. We pray your heart. We pray that we will grasp your heart today. And Lord, I personally pray clarity. I pray guidance in teaching your people today. I pray that you, who is God, you will have your way with us. May your spirit be in total authority over all that we are doing now. Spirit of our living God, have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today I'm speaking on the subject, the nature of the church. The nature of the church. As you may all know, for those who are visiting, you might not know, we are doing a series. This is the last week of our series on gospel-shaped worship. It's from the beginning of this year, before this year ending of last year, the Lord told me to begin to teach and prepare our congregation to worship and to serve him as he has called us to serve him. And those of us who remain faithful to serving him diligently, he will bless us. He told me that we should not ask for his blessings because he has blessed us already. But what will activate the blessing that is upon our life is our true worship of him. And so you'll find out the first few weeks of this year, we have devoted it to studying on worship, what true worship really means. And we've looked at it from all the way individually, all the way to where we are now, where we see ourselves as the church. Many people do ask the questions. It's a billion-dollar question. I wish there was money for this, man. And if there was money, I'm sure that somebody would have won it by now, because In the past, the church was seen as the building. In the past. But right from scripture, from the New Testament, right from the time Jesus Christ was crucified, the church began. People started congregating. People started coming together with one agenda, seeking Jesus, with one heart for Jesus Christ. Because of their love and their passion for Jesus, they began to meet. And the word of God says in the book of Acts that they gave themselves to the teaching of the apostles. The apostles were teaching them, and they were coming to learn from them. They were fellowshipping like that. And from there, the church began. And so what is the church? The church really is the people who accept the Lord Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior and are living for Him. That is the church. And so we also have church buildings, places that people who have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior come together to fellowship, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. An example is this beautiful building that, this old, beautiful building that we are working hard to maintain, to keep it open so that we can continue to come together to fellowship, to worship, to study, and to be a blessing to one another. That is what the church is all about. It's not this nice, beautiful building. It's you and I who have accepted the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. As a matter of fact, if a building exists without people coming in it to worship, it would not be a church. And so you and I continually coming here to worship makes it a church building. Coming all the way from London to here, I have seen so many churches, so-called church buildings, transformed into very beautiful apartments because people stop gathering to worship there. That is why we have to keep praying that the buildings will keep open. That is why you and I cannot stop evangelizing and working, because if we do not evangelize for people to see the need to come together, what will be the need of the building? But there is a place for coming together, and there is a place for being alone. Jesus told us while he was leaving, do not forsake the gathering of your brethren. He told them not to forsake one another's encouragement. And so this morning, having looked at what the church is, the church being the people that accept the Lord Jesus and are living for Jesus, I like to use those two words. You accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and you are living for Jesus. Some people have accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. Glory to God. They've done the hard work, but they are not continuing in being obedient to Him. We have accepted Him, but we are living our own life. And the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandment. The Lord Jesus again says that my sheep knows me, and another, they do not listen. And so, obedience to the Lord Jesus goes together with accepting him as your Lord and personal Savior. God bless you so much for your devotion and dedication to living for Jesus. The word of God says that we should be doers of the word and not knowers of the word. So it's not enough to know the Bible. I like when I'm talking to people and they are quoting the Bible to me, and I love it. But when you are not living according to the word of God, you really don't mean anything to me. You don't mean anything to me. And so we come back to our passage here. Such a beautiful passage on love. You see, from studying to preach this subject on love, a lot of commentators, very matured writers, and people breaking down the Bible have said, if we try to break down this commentary so much, if we break down this passage so much, we take the uniqueness and the beauty of what it's trying to say away. And so it is best to try and stay as close as you can possible to it, because the passage speaks for itself. The Apostle Paul, from the beginning, he says, when you look at the first three verses, The first two verses says, therefore, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not loved, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Wow. I am nothing if I do not love. Amazing. From this passage, from these two verses, looking at the three, this is the fundamental of what love is. What love is. What the church is supposed to be about. The church is supposed to be about love. Without love, he says that, you know, and the Lord Jesus, before he left us, said to all of us, he said to his disciples, go ye to the nations, preaching the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he sent us all to the world, and he has told us all to go and witness, to go and preach the gospel, to not sit idle, but we should continue the work on this earth that he had come to start. Through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul is saying here, it is good to do all these things. Hey, I love Jesus Christ. I want to go and preach and save souls. And I want to go and win souls. And I want to, oh my goodness, I want to go and pray for people. I want to go and deliver people from their strongholds. There is so many things we would want to do for Jesus, because Jesus has called us. Jesus has anointed us. He has empowered us. I have encountered Jesus. I am a new creator. I am a new soul. Also, the past is all gone and all that. And I'm working for Jesus. I'm in the church. I'm doing everything. I come to arrange the church. I'm a ministry leader. I am this. I am intercessor. I am that. You can say all these things. Oh, I speak in tongues. Some of us, when we really come to pray and we are praying, we are like karate people. Commandos in the spirit realms. We do all these things. And the Apostle Paul says, if I do all these things and I have no love, it's all useless. Whoa. Man, Holy Ghost, why do you lay it on us like that? You tell us to go and work for Jesus, and now you're telling us if we do all this with our love, it is useless. It is useless. All that you are doing without love is useless. It has no meaning. In your effort to save souls, in your effort to witness Jesus, in your effort, all that you are doing, going to your workplace, all that you are doing, it is useless without love. I mean, it is useless. The fundamental of you as the church, me as the church, everything we do must be love. That's what he's saying. You see, if we do not have love, our effort to witness, to do all this work, when we are trying to do, we are thinking we are trying to do good, rather, we begin to cause harm. We begin to cause harm. And I have seen it so many times in the house of God where people have not acted in love, even though they had the right intent in doing something, but they didn't do it out of love. I've hurt a lot of people. I've hurt a lot of people. And the Lord Jesus is about life. He's not about trees. The Lord Jesus is not about your dog. Maybe there is a heaven for dog. But the Lord Jesus didn't come for dogs. It's not in the Bible that Jesus saved souls of dogs. He says, the words that I speak to you are life. Life. Jesus is life. And he came for you and I, that we might have life and have it abundantly. That's what he says. He says he came for the poor. We are poor. You know, when Jesus talk of riches, he's not looking at financial riches, you know. Even though that is a kind of poverty, he's looking at first the state of humankind, our relationship with God. And it starts from there to reflecting physically how your life would be. And so we want to do all these things. The apostles begins to lay them all down. If I do all these things and I do not have love, I'm doing it uselessly. It bears no fruit. It doesn't honor the Lord Jesus. It doesn't glorify God. You are on your own agenda. And on that day, he says that many will say, did I not heal the sick in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? And I will say, I did not know you. I mean, how can I do all this thing? The labor that I am laboring on this earth. You know, there are certain things I love, I wish I could do. I mean, when I see how people can just get up and just do their own thing. They sleep, they wake up, and they get up and do whatever is on their heart. Anything they want to do, anything they want to say, wherever they want to go. When people get up to do that, I cannot get up and do what I want to do. The man of the spirit, the word of God says that the steps of the righteous is ordered by the Lord, and his ways he approves upon. So there are certain things God does not approve upon, I cannot do. So I am killing I am putting myself on the altar as a sacrifice for Jesus. Doing all these things. Not doing certain things. Going through the grinding as a child of God. Fasting and praying. Choosing not to eat and praying for people and all these things. I do all that. And then I end up before the Father. Before Jesus. And he says, oh, excuse me, I didn't know you. Waste of time. Waste of time. Waste of time. But that is the true reality of what life is about. Jesus is clearly laying a foundation. The word of God is clearly making it all clear for the child of God that calls himself part of the church of God. Part of the followers of Jesus. That there is something that is important. And the child of God that values their relationship with God must begin to understand that love is the key to honoring the Father. The nature of the church, you and I, we have to be defined by something. What is the church? If I were to throw it to you now, what is the church? Use one word to describe the church. What would you say? What would you say? But the church is love. The church is love. Church, what we need the most is love. What we need the most is love. And so, in order that the Corinthian church who are receiving this letter do not turn to the apostle Paul and say, okay, so this love that you are presenting to us, what it is? What is it? In order that they don't get there, the Apostle Paul himself begins to break down what the love is. What the love is. You see, I just want to take some time to really break down what love this Apostle Paul is talking about. You see, in the ancient days, there were three major words used to describe love. There is the eros. Eros, the word erotic is derived from the word eros, which means romantic love, sexual love towards someone or something. And then you have philia. Philia is the natural friendship between friends and family. You see, and philia love is basically what you can find between two people who remain on this earth without Jesus. Philia. Oh, I love this guy so much. Man, he's my brother, man. Don't talk about my brother like that, man. Hey, me and him, we go way back, man. I'm trying to put on some American accent in the house, man. Come on. You can do something for me, yeah? Officer, you can say something.
My brother, this my boy right here. Don't disrespect him. It's my man.
Don't disrespect. It's my man. Like that kind of thing between us. That kind of thing. And then there is agape. Agape is the fourth word. The next one. The agape word is basically, it is a self-giving love and gives without demanding or expecting repayment. Yeah. It is love so great that it can be given to the unlovable or unappealing. It is love that loves even when it is rejected. Agape love gives and loves because it wants to. It does not demand or repeat repayment from the love given. It gives because it loves. It does not love in order to receive. According to Alan Redpath, we get our English word agony from agape. Agony from the word agape. It means the actual suffering of our being in one great passion. Strictly speaking, agape can't be defined as God's love. The kind of love that God has for us cannot even be defined as agape. Well, you know, our English, our language, it has limitations. God is even way beyond agape. The unconditional love. Love that is deep. And the love that the Apostle Paul uses here is agape. So he's saying that if I do all these things and I do not love unconditionally, all that I do is useless. If I love and I want to show off and I want somebody to pay me, I know people, they will be playing with you, you know, because we prayed and you broke through, man, I'm waiting for the typhoon. Hello? So you prayed with me and I broke through, so I have to come and pay you. You know, this kind of love, its description is basically, whether you love me or not, I'm going to love you regardless. I'm gonna give you a certain kind of treat, whether you give me back or not, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, I'm doing it from my heart for you, regardless. And that is what the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, is telling us to begin to desire. You see, in addition, you know, all these things that the Apostle Paul has talked about, if I speak in the tongue of angels, if I speak in tongues, in those times, the Corinthian church desired that gift. They saw it as, when you speak in tongues, you are on a supernatural movement. You are very supernatural. You are deep. Yeah. The Corinthians valued those things. And he's telling them, all that is good. But without agape, without unconditional love, all your noise that you make, all your things that you do, is useless. It's useless. Many in their relationships with their wives haven't reached agape yet. They are still on eros. If my wife doesn't give me sex, forget me treating her any good. If my husband doesn't treat me, and we hear these things. Even in some marriage, it is still on the filial level. It is not on the agape level yet. A man cannot give himself freely to his wife. Loving the woman, treating the woman, cherishing the woman. Even in a lot of families, we haven't reached the agape level yet. But when we begin to look at what Jesus has come to do for you and I, him dying unconditional death. Many times when I'm speaking to people here, I say to you, imagine Jesus if he did not come. If Jesus had not just said, I would go, what would you and I do? And so, our walking with God, our doing for God, must be fueled with the picture of who Jesus is. And that is the gospel-shaped worship. If you look at what the dying of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, what it is doing in your life, what it has done for you and I, out of that, you do everything. That is what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Begin to look at what you do. What is the motive? What is the reason? Why are you doing it? When I'm not here, do you do it nicely? And then when I'm not around, you don't want to do it? So that Pastor Barnes will see that, man, I'm a good guy. You're not doing it for me. If it did not have love, it does not honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So our gatherings, the way we treat one another, the way we talk to one another, the way we pray, we come to God and we kneel before him. Everything we do must be fueled by this intimate desire to do something unconditionally. Unconditionally. Unconditional love. Unconditionally. Unconditionally. So now, when you look at the verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Then it continues into the verse 5 and 6 and 7, telling us, when you look at it, 8 things love is not. There are 8 things which are not love. Who can mention some? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not bear rudely. Oh, sorry. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinking no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. 8 things love is not. Love is not proud, not arrogant, not rude, not jealous, not touchy, not suspicious, not happy with evil. That is love. And as you look at these things, that is all that Jesus came to stand for. You see, that word love can easily be taken out of human statement and just say Jesus. We can replace that word with Jesus. When you look at the nature of Jesus, when you look at the way Jesus gave himself sacrificially, Jesus came to himself, he did not judge. Jesus hated sin. He says that the prince of this world comes, but he finds nothing of his in me. Jesus did not walk about ragingly. Jesus was never arrogant. Jesus is a proud, is a humble man who lived on this earth, treating all with kindness and love. That's also why a lot of people followed him. And the
high priests and the so-called Pharisees and Sadducees, they got jealous of him because of the kind of person he was. All could relate with him. I mean, how do you sit at a well with an adulterous woman? This woman, I bet probably when she came to the well to fetch the water, maybe her appearance alone told Jesus a lot. Jesus knew the sort of person she was, but Jesus still engaged with her. Jesus initiated, "Can I have some water to drink?" I mean, some of us, we see sinners coming. Oh, that's... No, I don't want to have anything to... That. Hey. So, we are in this world. We go to our workplace and... Or everybody is a sinner and I am righteous, and so you don't talk to anyone. You're walking in the workplace like holier than thou person. You want to solve everybody's problem for them, but nobody can relate with you. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can ask you, "Oh, I am blessed and highly favored." Meanwhile, your husband just slapped you at home, beat you up, and you have come claiming to be highly favored. Jesus walked on this earth, embodied, depicted what love is. And because of him, because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, his Holy Spirit dwells in you. And because he lives in you, his Holy Spirit, his spirit, his nature lives in you, you walk around claiming that you are part of the body of Christ. Claiming that you are part of the church. So in actual essence, this love should be part of you. You and I should understand that we can walk in love. If it was not possible for you and I to walk in this agape love, to walk in this unconditional love, the Lord would never have asked us to do it. It is an action. Just do it. So love one another. Just as I have loved you. That's what Jesus told us. Love one another. Just as I have loved you. I have walked in love towards you. Jesus didn't condemn you and I. Jesus didn't condemn you. As a matter of fact, Jesus is holy. Jesus is, I tell you, glorious. John, when he saw Jesus knelt, he said, "Oh my God, what is happening to me?" When you see the glory of Jesus, you can never be in his presence and not see that this guy is truly a supernatural being. He created all these things on this earth. He is the word. He is the truth. He is the life. He is everything that exists. And yet still, he humbled himself. He accepted you and I as sinful people as we are. We gossip. Oh, as for lust, let's not even go there. We have lust after so many things. Even the pastor's wife you lust after. Even so many sinful things, wicked things you do alone when nobody is watching. But because you are not caught, when people who have come out seeking help come out, oh, then you can begin to point fingers. You can't walk in love. You can't walk in gentleness. But Jesus never gave up on any of us. The Father never gave up on any of us. He has shown us love. And that has to be the nature, the kind of person you and I are. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we have to be defined as Jesus. Somebody should just be able to watch you for a few minutes, a few seconds, a few hours, and just say, "Wow, this guy is a Christian." And if they did not know Jesus at all, or they did not hear about Jesus at all, they should be able to see you, the way you react and behave, and feel like, "Wow, there's something very unique about this person. There's something very unique." You see, the Lord Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." Any person that walks in love, any person that walks in ways that honors the Lord Jesus, is able to draw people to his or herself. Because you know what? The Father is on a journey of restoration. The Father wants to renew people. The Father wants to increase people. The Father wants to do good in people. And he knows if he brings them to you, me, the way we are, the stinky character that we carry, the hateful people that we are, the jealous people that we are, the selfish people that we are, the arrogant people that we are, we will kill their faith. And so we can never draw people to ourselves. Yet still, this is us here, always praying, Lord Jesus, oh, increase us, give us grace, give us keys for this community. We are going out to win souls. Yet still, you have an offense towards somebody sitting right here with you in this church. Yet still, you have so much expectation of everybody, and you do not have any expectation for yourself. Love. Jesus. Let the nature of Jesus begin to show in you. And you are here, you might be asking, Pastor Barnes, how do I do this? How do I do this? Repent. Repent of the sin. Repent of your pride. Repent of your jealousy, your selfishness. Your all that is not Jesus. Repent. And kneel and ask him. Humble yourself. Submit your totality and say, Lord, help me. Many of us can't call on Jesus because of our pride. But this guy loves you and I. He's ready. He's willing to transform you and I. He's willing to do new thing in you. He's willing to make you beautiful, awesome. Look, he's willing to do so great in your life. You can do so much. You can achieve so much with him. The word of God says that with Christ, all things are possible. He will give you the strength. He will give you the hope. He will give you the courage. He will restore your life. You will walk in anointing and power and authority, like the way the apostles walked on this earth with power and authority. But it starts with yielding. It starts with yielding. You want to see Jesus? We want to see Jesus lifted high above the water. That's what the church has become. We dance, we dance, we dance, we dance. And we go and we are still the same people. We are still the same people. We are still the same people. Love is eternal. Love is unending. The word of God says, all things shall pass away, but the word of God shall not pass away. And we know from John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among men. Jesus. So you and I, if we walk in love, if Jesus is really in our life and we walk in unconditional love, we walk in the agape love, we walk in the renewed kind of love that the Lord Jesus will give to you and I, it will never end. Because Jesus is unending. If you just focus on Jesus, you will die here and we will come and celebrate you so beautifully. Yeah? And you will go to heaven and it will go and continue there. But if you do not yield to this Jesus, there is eternal sorrow. Can you imagine? We have funeral here and nobody even wanted to come. I, the pastor, had to go to some people and beg them to come to your funeral. Do you know? I know people who literally, because they are rich, they were able to pay people to come and cry at their family members' funeral. Some people have made business out of it. They cry at funerals. Macapra, yeah. They cry at funerals. Because not me, I should go to that guy. That guy, the way, no, I don't want to have anything with, you know. And so you have funeral, everybody is passing. It's sad. People can't say anything good about you. You are a Christian and nobody wants to relate with you. You don't walk in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, gentleness, kindness, peace, joy, love. So nobody wants to relate with you. No boss wants to work with you. Every job you go to, when other people are supposed to, are able to keep job for years, you alone, 3 months, they are telling you to leave. and then you begin to blame your pastor that he doesn't pray, he doesn't carry anointing, but meanwhile, you are the problem. And then when you finish blaming the pastor, you blame Jesus, that all this Jesus thing is a lie. Obviously, you will say it's a lie. It doesn't work in your life. Child of God, love is eternal. It will pass everything. Everything will pass away, but Jesus will not pass away. Begin to reflect on your life. Begin to reflect on your action. Begin to reflect on how you live your life. And begin to take on the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have accepted him, let him begin to mold you. Let him begin to transform you. Let him begin to make you this beautiful person he wants you to be. Yield. Surrender. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And the book of Acts says that Peter got up and he preached. And people came to their knowledge and realization that, hold on, this, what is happening is unique. The word of God says that as he was preaching, they asked, what shall we do to be saved? And he said, repent, be baptized. Repent. Repent. Child of God, you don't want your hard labor here on this earth to go unrewarded. Yeah. Begin. Go home. Maybe let it start here. Research on yourself. Ask Jesus afresh, Lord, I'm supposed to walk in love. I'm supposed to show my doings and my walking is supposed to reflect on who you are, but I know I am not. So I need you to help me. And take the Bible. Take the Bible and begin to study God's word. I always say, some of you are making me lazy. You don't come to Bible studies. You don't ask me, Pastor, what can I do? None of us challenge my understanding and my knowledge about the word of God. But a child of God must be busy searching scriptures, calling their pastor. Pastor, I'm studying the word of God and I'm seeing this. Even if it is not that you have a question for me, you should also come to bless me with something from God. I'm always blessing you guys. Can't you just sometimes stop me and tell me what God is saying to me? Pastor, I was praying today and look at the word of God. God bless you, Pastor. You know the word of God says this. Why can't you just do it so that me too I'll be blessed? All we do is take. But Jesus is saying be willing to give. Yeah? Jesus is a giver. The Father is a giver. In all that you do, give your best. Not just giving, but let it be from a deeper place. And because you have accepted him, his Holy Spirit is going to be able to help you to do this. Child of God. You will do it. Yes, he will do it. Jesus can turn your heart around. You have to give it to him. And look at what he will do with your life. Shall we please pray?